Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight on Fire to Inspire. I tell you, you're going to enjoy tonight's topic, and it is, you were built for this. I'm telling you, so many people are second-guessing themselves because life has happened, but guess what? You were built for this. So I'm so excited about it, so excited about our guests. But before we jump in, we want to thank each and every sponsor that has sown into this fertile soil. And we don't take it for granted. We don't take anything lightly. And we just praise God for each and every one of them. We thank God for Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, where Roz specializes in natural hair, relaxers, braids, sew-ins. She even makes wigs, quick weaves. She does makeup, lashes, and so very much more. So anything dealing with hair care and looking beautiful, that's Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, and she will take care of you. Tell her that you heard it here on Fire to Inspire. You can call us up your appointment today at 404-599-3712. That's 404-599-3712. That's Roz Hair and Beauty Bar. Experiencing the greatness of God in the spiritual realm by Evangelist Alexandra Townsend. That is an awesome, awesome book where she gave a live account of how God delivered her son from an alcohol addiction for over 15 years. So the books are available on all online book outlets. Can't get it out tonight. Again, the title of that book is Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. Then we have Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. CDs are available on Reverb Nation and CD Baby. And Vincent Lynch is the owner and operator, and I tell you guys, he is a minister from heaven. He even did the music for the jingle that you hear as we come on each and every week. So I wrote the words, he did the music, and Latoya Foles did the actual singing. So thank you so much for Third Heaven Sound. Unique Expression by Design is our next sponsor. Unique Expression by Design with Angelise Washington will bring your custom ideas to life, whether it's from your T-shirts, mugs, journals, pens, and so much more. Visit Angelise Washington at www.uniqueexpressionbydesign.com. 321 Stop Bullying, Speak Life and Show Love. Visit them at www.321stopbullying.com. They are available for speaking engagements, book discussions, mentoring sessions, and so much more. Again, visit them at www.321stopbullying.com, and that is the numbers spelled out. Then finally, Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea. That is August 26th, this coming Saturday at 3 p.m. at the John Burdine Center at 215 Lakewood Way, Atlanta, Georgia, 30315. I will be one of the anointed MCs that will be there. I'm telling you, you're going to be enjoying yourself. Join us for a West African fashion show with Styles by Yama. We'll have a motivational moment, tea and other delicacies. So you definitely won't want to miss this. Tickets are only $20. Ladies, you need your break. You need to get away. You need to just fellowship with girls. Bring your girlfriend out. Go on to eventbrite.com and purchase your ticket. Again, it's Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea, August 26th, this coming Saturday at 3 p.m., John Burdine Center, Community Center at 215 Lakewood Way, Atlanta, Georgia, 30315. Again, I am one of the MCs there, so I'm looking so forward to it. And Styles by Yama is doing the fashion show. In fact, I will be wearing one of her beautiful pieces that she's making for that evening. And I tell you, I just thank God for each and every one of our sponsors tonight. And if you want to be a sponsor to On Fire to Inspire, you can email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com, and you can sow into this fertile ministry for only $25 for the entire month. Yes, you heard that right. So let us know if you want to be a part of that, and we'd love to help get the word out as well as you sow into this fertile soil. But we're going to jump right into the topic tonight. The topic is, you were built for this. So many people, again, are just existing. And the Lord said, tell the people that it's time to stop existing and start living the life that I created for them to live. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and bring our guest on, Ms. Casey Venning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire.
Thank
How
you.
Are you this evening?
I'm well, well. Just so happy to be here with you.
We are so excited about having you with us this evening. I tell you, I love the topic. You were built for this, and it just blesses me. So I want you to introduce yourself to the On Fire to Inspire family.
Yeah, so usually when people ask me that question, I'm always like, what do I say? And the best description that I can give to folks is that I'm a servant. I love serving. I love loving on people and making sure that I can impact their lives in a way that they'll be the better for it, having encountered me. And not just me, but the Spirit of God that lives within me and the things that He's instructed me to do and to give and to be to those particular people. But beyond that, for folks who want some qualifications, I'm a sociologist by trade in terms of study. I'm a minister, ordained Christian minister. I also am the co-founder and the executive director of a nonprofit entitled Helping Empower Youth, and we do leadership and character development using a STEM curriculum. I'm also an advocate for mental health, and we'll talk a little bit about that, I'm sure, as we get into Built for This, because that's really the catalyst of how this even came about, and in that, just discovering the differences between mental health, mental illness, and mental wellness. I think a lot of times people get those confused. And then finally, I'm an author. I wrote Built for This, A Young Woman's Journey to Self-Discovery and Empowerment. I do not call it a memoir, even though it talks a lot about my life. It's just a few examples that I decided to share with older teen girls. And what I found is that women and some men of all ages found themselves in the pages of the book, because all of us have been broken or defeated or kicked down, held down, pushed down in some form or fashion in our lives. And we have to remind ourselves of who we were.
Amen. Well, we welcome you to the On Fire Inspire platform, and we thank God for you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. So tell us, the topic itself, you were built for this. What does that mean to you?
It means that anything that the enemy meant or sent to you to break you, in fact, was meant and sent to build you up. A lot of times what we find in our lives is that we're dealing with a lot of pain and strife and stress and hurt and challenge, and we're thinking that, oh my gosh, this is the thing that is going to take me out. This is the thing that is going to, you know, just kind of level this big, beautiful house that I've built up, both physically and metaphorically. And what we fail to realize is that in our pain and our confusion and our challenge, that's when God really begins to deposit into us all those things that make us strong in Him. I love the scripture verse that tells us that in our weakness, He's made strong. And that can't be shown without some pain and some hurt coming to our lives. And also, God can get the glory out of our lives and show Himself strong to the rest of the world if He doesn't get involved in situations that we feel are hopeless or we feel that are, you know, just beyond repair and beyond any solution being able to switch it around or bring it back to what we think is right or proper. And so without those things, you know, how do we really share with those who are hurting, who have been abused and used, that God can bring you out of it, and to remind them, you know, everything that you need, God has already given to you. He gave it to you on the cross. It's a matter of us being able to navigate through what we're dealing with at this time and pull on those things that make us strong by the virtue of the Spirit of God that lives within us. And so that's really what Built For This is. I remember I was 27 years old, and I was having a full-on mental breakdown, like nervous breakdown. And the only thing that gave me comfort was laying on the bathroom floor because I could feel the coldness from the tile. Everything else had become numb. I remember calling my mom and just, you know, telling her there were things and people living in the cabinets in the kitchen and in my dresser drawers and in my closet. And the only thing that she could tell me in that moment, because she couldn't get to me, is like, well, you know, open the drawers, open the cabinets, open the doors. You know, at least if they see you, they, you know, they won't harm you. And I did that, and that night I realized, like, this isn't the life that I want to live. I don't want to live a life being anxious and paranoid and, you know, having a breakdown because I'm not dealing with life properly. And I was like, I just can't do this. I can't handle this. I don't want this. I'm tired. And the Holy Spirit says that you've got it backwards. Like, you were literally built for this. Like, you were built for every pain, every hurt, every challenge, every frustration, every tear. You know, everything that you thought was going to take you out, you were built for it. And not built for it because you deserve it, but built for it because you can handle it. And if you're able to see that I'm able to pull you out of this, and that all you have to do is trust in me, rely on me, heed to my voice, that you can begin to rebuild your life. And so Built For This really became my mantra. Anytime I would get to a place where I just felt like I can't handle life right now. No, that's the wrong attitude, Casey. You are built for this. Even though this seems crazy and it seems hellish, you are built for this. And when I realized that I'm built for this, the this, whatever it was, began to just dissipate out of my life, began to move. I would tell the mountain to move, and it would get out of my way.
Amen. And, you know, so many times we sit and allow life to happen, and God's like, he's like, I've given you the power and authority, but you have chosen to sit on it. And I tell you, you know, we have so much power. We just refuse to walk. Well, I think most of the time we don't understand that we have it, or we've forgotten. What do you think?
I think we've forgotten for most of us. And I think some of us have never really experienced the power of God to know that they have it in the first place. But for the majority of us, I think we forgot because we get comfortable, you know, in our lives. We get comfortable in being able to put the mask on and to figure things out for the moment, to give us some temporary pleasure and comfort. And so we begin to forget those things that we have to pull, you know, from deep down in our spirit, some of those things that are buried in order for us to get to this challenge. And so we feel like, oh, gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But I'm like, well, wait a minute. Think about that last thing you thought you weren't going to get through, right? You were able to do that, but because we've been able to play this game and put this facade on, and, you know, we know all the church lingo, and, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored, and, you know, we're just going to let the Lord have his way and do his will, and all those things are absolutely true. But also there's a level of transparency and a level of brokenness that we have to allow ourselves to experience for God to be able to take us to the next level. You know, and there's no progression in God. There's no, you know, really being able to understand the deep mysteries of who he is without us being stripped of what allows us to stay in our comfort zone. And yes, women, and I was telling them, it's not the pain that necessarily causes us the most challenge and the most hurt that we've experienced. It's the healing process that we have to go through, and the willingness and the ability to let go of some level of control and really allow God through the Holy Spirit to begin to heal us. So it's not what we've gone through that we're afraid of, it's what we have to go through to be healed that we don't want to experience.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Because many times I tell people, you know, don't allow your mindset to keep you in bondage. You know, I remember one young lady I was talking to, just kind of as a mentor, and I said, you know, many times we, because you don't have the buy-in from your spouse or your family or whoever, you're afraid to be successful. And that, as crazy as that sounds, it's the truth. Have you seen that with any of your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one particular young lady that I work with often, and we get so close to her breakthrough, and then it's as if she regresses. And so finally I said to her, it's like, there's nothing else for us to work through. There's nothing else for us to do. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, there's nothing else to do. I said, you have every skill that you need. You have every source of inspiration that you need to pull on. You have every scripture that you need to internalize, you know, that is, you know, appropriate for the area in your life that you want to grow in. I said, there's nothing else for us to talk about and nothing else for us to do. She's like, but I haven't, you know. I said, because you don't want to. You don't want the level of responsibility that comes with being successful in this. And I see it in you because I was the same way. I am the person who's usually called on often and at the last minute because I've created this reputation for myself of being able to get it done. Doesn't necessarily mean it's always at a high level, but I'm able to get it done. And because I was able to do that, I never challenged myself to be great in anything because I'm like, it's okay to just be average. It's okay to just get it done because there's something about that that people are always going to need because people by nature are procrastinators in some area of our life. You know, no matter how well organized some of us are, there's an area in our life that we all procrastinate in. And because that is part of human nature, I'm always going to be needed to just do enough, to just get it done. And I was like, I didn't want to do that anymore because I felt like it wasn't honoring God for me to just be average, that I felt like me dimming my light or playing small or always being in the background and not being aware of my gifting and my calling and my talent was going to somehow, you know, make me seem egotistical or arrogant. Versus me admitting to myself, Casey, this has nothing to do with anybody else other than you don't want the level of responsibility that comes from you operating in a high level of excellence. Because if you do it that way one time, people are going to expect for you to continue to do it again. And I think a lot of times people just don't want to be accountable to anybody else for being able to show up in their full glory. I think sometimes, too, that our faith and those of us who are born and raised in church, we hear it all the time to be humble and, you know, to not talk about yourself and to not boast about things. And, you know, there are some truths to that, but I think we also do ourselves a disservice when we don't make sure that we're operating in our calling and our gifting at such a high level that that light shines before we even get to the door, before we even open up our mouth. Because we condition ourselves to say that the only way to be humble is to never say anything great about ourselves. It's to never tell folks what we're equipped and able to do. It's to, you know, just wait until somebody calls our name, just wait until somebody sees us. Well, people are blinded by their own stuff. You know, and so I think there's a way to be able to do that and not be boastful and arrogant and prideful because those things don't do you any good either. But a lot of times we're just afraid of the success because that means that a new expectation and a new bar has been set and now we have to reach that.
Right, right. You know, when I talk to youth and even when I go in and talk to women like at transition homes or wherever, or I'm talking to some women that are in transition, I tell them there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. There's a big difference. So you don't have to be arrogant, but you got to understand who you are and what you carry.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't know your value, then everyone and anyone will discount you, you know. But if you understand that you're priceless, no one can ever discount you. So, you know, I just praise God because that was definitely a Holy Spirit thing that gave it to me in that manner. And it blessed so many, you know. They were like, oh, my God, I just thank you for that, especially when, you know, the events are over and things of that nature.
Right.
Like, you don't know how much that spoke to me. And even with, you know, some of the men that are in transition, because a lot of women, ministers are called to women, but many of us are called to the masses. And that,
right.
you know, I'm one of those women called to the masses, and I get men contacting me all the time saying, oh, my God, you must know my story. And I'm like, no, the Father knows your story, and he knows exactly what you have need of. So, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing. And one of the things that blesses me as well is that, you know, when you have people like us that can be transparent and help others, because so many people, well, I don't want nobody to know my business. And, you know, you just shared that you had a breakdown at 27 years old, but God used that for his glory and to get the victory out of that and help other people, because it wasn't for you. And so many times people don't want to share that. Well, how dare you not do what God called you to do? There's so many people that's waiting on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think about a lot of times when we read, you know, the stories in the Bible, and if Esther, Moses, Abraham had decided, you know what, God, I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not of this particular, you know, faith of these particular people. I'm actually talking about Esther, you know, of the group of people that they are trying to persecute and kill. Right? Or if Moses were to say, you know, I murdered somebody and I stutter and, you know, man, my mama gave me away and she put me in a basket and folded me down the river, right? Or what if Abraham said, God, I prayed for this son. You know, I've been begging. Matter of fact, my wife was willing to give me to a whole nother woman because she just wanted to fulfill, you know, this desire that I had, but we prayed and we waited on you and now you want to take him from me? Had any of them decided that I'm not going to share through my actions and through my life and fulfilling my purpose and my calling, you know, it's a whole kingdom of people who would have been impacted and never would have seen the light of day because of their unwillingness to be used by God. And, you know, I tell people, there's, as transparent as I am, there is still some stuff that's going to be with me and Jesus to the day I take my last breath, right? There's just some things that he is not going to, you know, allow for everybody to experience, because I do think that there are some things that's meant just for your growth and your strength. But at the same time, there are so many things that happen in my life that if I don't share with someone, they don't think that they can get through. Like, I think about my life, and as rosy as it may seem from the outside, you know, I had a young lady who was reading the book, and she's like, well, I just don't understand how you would even have depression. You know, you have both your mom and your dad in the house, and it seemed like they actually liked and loved each other. And you have this huge extended family and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandmother and all of that, you know. How did you grow up in that kind of environment and then still feel like you weren't loved and that you didn't know your place and that you felt insecure every time you were around these people who you know love you, but you just didn't know how they really felt about you or thought about you? And, you know, if I'm completely transparent, I still got family members where I feel like, I don't know if you really like me or not, right? But the reality of it is that, you know, none of that mattered because I hadn't tapped into completely and fully who I was in God, and I didn't allow him to fill me up in a way where none of that mattered. And what I received from my family was just kind of the icing on the cake, or was the blessing, or the fact that at the age of 19, I went in for an outpatient procedure. It's supposed to have been about 4 hours long. And I was going to go home, spend the night, then jump in my car and come back to college to start my sophomore year, drive back with my best friend at the time from Virginia back to Atlanta. And the outpatient procedure ended up having me in the hospital for 5 days. And when I came to you, and I was literally tied to the bed, and I had a tube down my throat that I had to breathe through, but I was also vomiting and regurgitating through at the same time. And when I finally got to a recovery room, the doctor said, you know what, I'm here to clean up the mess because we're not quite sure what happened, but we know that you should have died on that table. As a matter of fact, we told your parents to start planning your funeral. Or, you know, the fact that my father died just a year later at the age of 20, and his cancer had come back for the second time. And I was a quintessential daddy's girl, and my heart was broken, because the reality of it is, as much as me and my mother loved each other, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember having a conversation longer than 30 minutes with my mother growing up, because wherever my daddy was, that's where I was, right? So to think that my father was now gone, and that this man that covered me and protected me and loved me and gave me every desire I ever had was no longer with me, I was shaking again and trying to figure out, well, who's going to love me? Who do I go to? Who do I turn to? You know, and in that, I thank God, because my relationship with my mother has strengthened to the point where if we don't talk to each other just one day, it's like, well, what happened or what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, or the fact that I can tell young ladies that, you know, sometimes depression isn't just about you going through traumatic things. Sometimes it's chemical. You know, just like somebody has diabetes or high blood pressure or, you know, some chronic illness. It's not anything you did or anything that was done to you. You just have it, right? Or the fact that you really can't come back from the brink of death, that everybody can tell you that you are done, that you've been counted out, that there's no coming back from this, and God has the final say. And I thank God even for that, because I don't remember a time of me asking him, but God, why? Why me? Why did you take me to the point of near death that even the doctors gave up? There's nothing else to do. If she makes it through the night, be lucky. And if she makes it through the night, we don't know if she's going to have her full faculties. And if she makes it through the night, we don't know if she's even going to be coherent enough to know who she is or who you are. But even in all of that, I realized to me that are broken, that are depressed, that are confused, that are hurt, that have never had a father, that have lost their father. And had I not experienced those things and realized that as much pain as it took me through, as much as I hurt and the nights that I cried over it, had I not gone through that, then I couldn't be effective in my ministry. I couldn't be effective in having my light shine, because there's nothing that I could pull from to tell them, but let me tell you what God can do. You know, if you're willing and if you allow yourself to just give him the space he needs to just turn your life completely and totally around, let me tell you what he can do. But having not gone through those experiences, there's nothing that you can pull from. What do I say to someone if I didn't lose my daddy? What do I say to someone if I'd never been sick to the point of death? What do I say to someone if I've never laid on a cold bathroom floor to the point where I don't know if I've been there for a day or for 5 days, just the thought of feeling something cold was the only thing that my body could respond to. And so I thank God for my challenges now. It sounds weird, and people look at me crazy when I say it, and as much as I don't like going through them when I'm dealing with it, I look back and say, God, thank you. I bless you for that, because it gives me something else that I can use to say, but God, and that he is so awesome, and he is so amazing, and his love for me continues, and it stretches far beyond my eye can see, because if he brought me through that again, he can bring me through anything.
I love it. I love it. I love it. As you said, you know, you are a daddy's girl, so how can you speak to that person who didn't have a father until you lost your father? So, you know, that's beautiful. I mean, you know, You can sympathize with people, but you can't empathize until you've worn those shoes. And
absolutely.
So, absolutely. So how was Built for This? How was it inspired?
Yeah, so it was inspired by, actually, I was at a service at my church, and it was actually the men who were, it was their Men's Day service, and they had come, and they were in their camos and their army fatigues, and, you know, they were just stomping around stage, doing what they do, and I looked, and I was like, okay, they are marching into battle. They are becoming soldiers for God. You know, this is a physical example of some mighty men of valor. I was like, but, you know, what about the ladies? Like, how do I internalize this message for me? And immediately in that moment, God said, you're built for this. Like, remember I kept telling you that all those years ago when you was laying on the floor and you couldn't figure it out? It's the same thing, that while you don't have on camos and you're not necessarily trying to become a soldier, there's some level of training that you had to go through, right? Boot camp. There's some level of on the field and out there on the battlefield war that you've had to entertain, both in your mind, your emotions, and your spirit. But through it all, you came out of it. And so you were molded and built to handle this. You were created, and you're just as strong as these men that you see up here on the stage. And that really goes for anybody. I started it out as a mentoring group for young women, and I had T-shirts made and all that, you know, years before I even wrote the book. And I had so many guys say, "But where's my shirt? You know, I want a shirt. I don't necessarily want pink on my shirt, but I want a built for this shirt too," because they needed to be reminded as well that they go through stuff. A lot of times we don't see men, you know, be as transparent or as emotional because of how he has deemed what's appropriate for a manly man and that type of thing. But they would see built for this, and they would say, "But I'm built for something too." And I'm like, "You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. We're all built for something." And then it really kind of took a turn. And when I thought about my own faith journey and my mental illness, and I tell people all the time, you know, me, I guess, quote unquote, accepting it isn't, an indicator that I don't trust God. I know that this is what God is using for me to be able to share what he's able to do. And so for me, it's really an intersection of faith and mental health. Because I can't just go to therapy. I can't just let somebody prescribe me something and I'm not praying and I'm not worshiping and I'm not studying and I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill me. That it has to work together. And then there are times where the enemy doesn't want you to be so totally in tune to what the Holy Spirit has for you. It begins to send distractions. But if I don't have some practical steps in place, right? So understanding what my triggers are and understanding boundaries and knowing what I need to rest and what I need to say no, then all of the work that I do in the spirit gets compounded as soon as I stop speaking in tongues, as soon as the worship music goes off, as soon as I get up off of my knees, here comes the enemy. And so there are things in the natural realm that I have to do as well to make sure that I protect what has been done in the spirit. And so I want people to know that you can have both, and it doesn't mean that God isn't as big and as awesome as he is, and it doesn't mean that you need to let somebody pump you up full of medication either, that you need to figure out what is that perfect blend of yours you need in order to be successful. And for me, it's just really letting people know that you can do both, and it doesn't negate your faith at all. Again, the practical stuff that happens and things that I learn when I go to therapy is about protecting what I do in the spirit, you know, making sure that when I have to go to war in the spirit, that when I come from out of that place, that I'm not around people who are negative, that I, you know, have been rested, that I know what foods to properly eat. And so that is what it is for me. It's just, you know, teaching people how do you, you know, really merge the two together, and one is not taking the place of the other, or I should say therapy isn't taking the place of God, but understanding how do you use those practical things to protect what you've done in the spirit.
Right, right. So how did the book itself come about?
I was talking to a young lady, and I was sharing my story with her, and she was like, "Oh, my gosh, I wish you could package this so I could just give it out to every young woman that I know." I said, "Well, how would I do that?" And we were just brainstorming everything but a book. And then finally I said, "You know what? What if I just wrote it down?" And I said, "I don't want it to be a traditional book, right? I don't want it to just be, here's my life story, you know, get what you can from it." So what I did at the end of the chapter, and I wanted to make sure that it was a quick and easy read, because, again, it was written with older teenagers in mind. It was written with a specific young lady in mind, actually a family member who was going through some of her own challenges and finding out who she was and some things that she had to deal with. And I said, what if at the end of each story that I shared about my own life, I gave them an affirmation or a quote, but I also gave them a question that they would have to then journal or pray about or think about. And so even if we think about like what chapter 4 talks about, Built to Thrive, and this is a chapter where I talk about my suicide attempt during Super Bowl Sunday in 1997, and house full of people. And I'm upstairs in my cousin's bathroom, and she's beating on the door like, when are you going to get out? And I was like, I'm not coming out. You know, I want to die. I want to kill myself. And I didn't know where that had come from. As I talk about that and, you know, how my parents felt and going to the therapist and all of that. But at the end of it, I asked the question, do you want to be a young woman or man who is strong enough to admit their weakness or succumb to them? Because a lot of times we just don't know, you know, where that fork in the road is. And so I wanted to, you know, pose the question, what kind of person do you want to be? You know, we're all going to have weaknesses, but do you want to succumb to them, give in to them each and every time they come, or do you want to learn how to work through them? And then also I give an affirmation that just says, I am thankful for a peaceful mind. I am grateful for the power of love and strength that I walk in. And each of the affirmations are a paraphrase scripture, because what I realized is that the book may get into the hands of someone who may not be a Christian, who may not be a Jesus follower, right? But I do believe that the word of God is strong enough and powerful enough to permeate through anybody's, you know, perception, mind, thought, opinion. But I didn't want to give them a quick and easy way to say no. So if they look at it, and for those who are believers, they know exactly what scripture to go to when they find it. And then for those who are just being introduced to Christ or who may not be a believer at all, they're still getting the word of God, whether they know it or not.
Amen. Amen. So how do they, you know, get the book, or how do they contact you and all this good stuff? How do they do any of that?
Yeah, they can definitely go to Amazon to get the book, and just type in Built for This and my name, and it will pop right on up. One of the beautiful things that I love is that every Vinny in this entire United States I am related to. So there is only one KC Vinny. So if you put that in, you will find that. Or they can go to kcvinny.com to order it. If they order it through the site, then I'm able to personalize it and sign it for them before it goes out. They can also follow me on Facebook at What Are You Built For? And then, of course, on Instagram at KC Vinny, and also at Twitter at KC Vinny as well. And they'll get to see all the great things that I'm a part of and supporting and really allowing God to use me in. So.
Amen. So they can book you through kcvinny.com as well?
Yes, they can. They absolutely can book me, send me a booking request if you have a conference, a workshop, a small group, you know, a ministry service, what have you, that you would love for me to be able to come and speak to or speak at, minister to. I would love to be a part of that. What I do know, and what I want to share just really, really quickly is that
Yeah,
a lot of times what happens is we get to a place in our life where we've built up this this perception of what success means. You know, having the right kind of house, the right kind of spouse, the right kind of car, you know, the amount of money that we have in our bank. And we're walking around as broken people. We're walking around as if there's nothing wrong, there's nothing bothering us, there's nothing that's eating away at our spirit. And part of what Built for This really shares with folks, and what I love about it, even when God gave it to me, years later, the connection was made. You know, my father's been gone for 17 years, but he was a funeral. My Aunt Paulette got up, and she said, you know, Uncle Henry just didn't build buildings. He built lives. And what I realized through the thread of my life is that all along, God has always given me these builder analogies. And so, you know, the Word of God, one of the descriptions of Jesus is that he is the chief cornerstone. And if you think about a house and a foundation, right, whether you know anything about construction or not, every edifice has a cornerstone. There's something that has to be the focal point from where the strength of the foundation is going to come from. The other thing that my father used to tell me all the time when I go with him to build houses or to just sit in the truck really and watch him is that never let anybody give you a house if you haven't asked them how long the foundation has set. And I was like, well, what does that mean and why does it matter or whatnot? Mm-hmm. He said, because if you never understand how the shifting of the wind and rain and mud and an earthquake or whatever happens in your, you know, geography or geographic region, you don't mm-hmm. know when that foundation is going to crumble. You can come and you can build the most beautiful house and all the bells and the whistles and the latest technology, and it can be the most coveted house on the block. But if the foundation is shaky, then all of it's just going to crumble down and just fall away, and you're left with nothing but rubble and rocks and sticks and boards and nails, right? Nothing pretty about it. And that's the thing that happens with our lives, that we don't allow our foundation to be set. And usually the foundation is only set and it's only proven to be sure when something comes and it rocks it. And I think a lot of times we don't think about God in the sense that he's loving enough to us that he allows us to be shaken and rocked and shifted and have pressure applied to us. We think that that's God punishing us or that's God not protecting us or that's God taking his hand off of us. Actually, the opposite. That's God in him showing another form of himself and how he loves us. Because the only way that we can build these beautiful lives is on a sure and a firm foundation. And so I don't want people to think about any challenge that comes their way as something that God has punished them with or something that God has decided that he has forgotten about when it comes to our lives. But instead, God, you hear me, you see me, you're preparing me for something that is mighty and something that is awesome. Because if you weren't, you wouldn't do this so that I can be reminded of how sure my foundation is. And if you realize that your foundation is a little shaky, there's some work that you have to do, and there's something that you have to allow the Spirit to come in and burn out of you and maybe burn in you. But none of the greatness that God wants to manifest in our lives is going to be able to really come to fruition until we know, because God knows already, until we know for sure that the foundation that we've set in him is firm and is sturdy. And no matter how much we rock and no matter how much we shake and no matter how much we bend, the foundation isn't going to go anywhere. So all those other things that God gives to us, Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. The seeking him and his righteousness is the foundation. All the other mm-hmm. things are those beautiful bells and whistles that God allows us to build on that sure foundation that makes the house the most coveted one on the block. So regardless mm-hmm. of what comes, that thing is still going to stand.
Amen, amen, and amen. That is so true. So very true. You know, many times people allow a situation to make them think that that solid foundation is shaky. No, mm-hmm. it's still solid. You still mm-hmm. have your yay and amen, right?
Amen. Yes, ma'am. That is
now, when you're,
sure.
when you're dealing with people, like, you know, if you're talking to someone as a minister or if you're wearing your sociologist hat or if you're wearing your life coach hat, have you dealt with some people that they have allowed that situation to tell them who they are versus remember who mm-hmm. God told them who they are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that is our default. And so mm-hmm. usually I'm prepared to go in to kind of debunk, you know, all of these lies that they told themselves. Mm-hmm. What I find both men and women alike is that there are some things that you have to be willing to share about yourself to yourself, because mm-hmm. we will assume that the thing that comes to us that is a little shaking, you know, of the foundation or the thing that we're challenged by to define who we are. And so I don't believe that we are fully aware or we embrace the totality of the creative power that we have in our tongues, right? That, you know, life and death is in the power of our tongue. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that we're to guard our hearts because out of it flow the issues of life. But if we go back up to verse 20, God is basically telling us to bend our ear to him, that the only thing that should be in our heart that flows out are the things that we hear from God that we've allowed to be deposited into our spirit. And so if we take that same notion to making sure that we constantly have something to go back to, that whenever those things come to us that the enemy will sometimes try to use, and I do my best to not give him too much credit because he don't have no power, but sometimes he will creep in because we allow him to, because we begin to believe the lies that other people tell us, or that sometimes we tell ourselves. And so when I talk to, especially with men, you know, it's about building yourself up, affirming yourself, remembering all of the things that you got through before, remembering all of the ways that God has made in the past for you, remembering all of the promises that he said that he wanted to keep for you, remembering how he says he loves you and he's going to take care of you, that if you'll take care of the birds in the air and the lilies of the field, that he thinks more highly of you, and so he's going to make sure that your every need is met as well. That the Lord's Prayer tells us that our daily bread is already given to us, which means I take no thought of what's going to happen on tomorrow, for tomorrow may not come. I know that everything that I need in this moment, like here, God has already given to me. And so it's not necessarily me having to remind myself that I'm highly favored and blessed, and that I'm the head and not the tail, and that I'm above and never beneath, and I'm the lender, not the borrower, or that he thinks of me more precious than a ruby, or that I'm a virtuous woman, or that he's a mighty man of valor. Sometimes you just got to get back down to the basics. That God loved me enough that my eyes opened up this morning and that he gave me food to eat. And when you can start back on those things that you know for sure, that there's nothing anybody can tell you that's going to make that thing untrue, then you can build back up to those things that put you back into a high esteem, and that you begin to see yourself just like God sees you. And that's really what happens, is that we forget how God views us, how God sees us, that he esteemed us so much that he could have been just fine with every animal that he created to walk around this domain, to walk around this earth, right? But he needed something else. He wanted something else that was going to give him glory and give him praise and give him honor. And so when he created man, he looked and said, that's good. If we look in the scripture, a lot of times we gloss over things. He never said that was good about anything else other than the man that he created. And so we have to go back to what God says about us when we can't remember the things that we think about ourselves. And then you begin to remember, oh, I am dope in this area. I am fly in this area. I can accomplish this. Oh, I remember, I crushed that goal over there, because if God can say this about me, knowing all of my stuff, then who am I to diminish my value in him, but diminish my value in my own eyesight if God knows all the things that I've even forgotten about but still loves me? And those are the things that I remind people of, that it doesn't have to be deep. Just start by writing down all of the good things that happened to you today. And if you can't think of anything, I can give you five things. You got your five senses. I'm sure it may not be what you want to eat today, but you've had something. Are you outside sleeping in the street? You know, maybe you don't have central air, but do you have a fan? Do the windows open? We got to get back to removing the creature comforts and removing the things we've gotten spoiled by, and look at just God's goodness and his grace and his mercy and his favor upon our lives. And when we can begin to be appreciative and grateful of those things, all those extra things that he just allows us to experience, we can then start adding those on. And so now, even when I have my moments of not having the best or the highest self-esteem, or my self-confidence is lacking, it doesn't stay there long. So when I get to talking to God and get to telling him about all the things that I want to think about myself, and he begins to remind me of all the things that he's done for me, things that I didn't even ask him to do, but he just made happen because he knew that I was going to be excited about it and give him glory for it, then me feeling like I'm less than, like, I got to cut that out. Like, that brings God no good pleasure for me to walk around here thinking that I can't handle anything that comes my way. I may not like it in the moment, but I'm going to figure out how to get my mind shifted and changed real fast and real quick to think on these things that are pure and holy and good and true, because if that is how he's going to view me in spite of my mess, then I might as well get on the same team that God is on and we can rock this thing.
What I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. I tell you, you know, I just had a thought, and I just posted it in the event. If you have anything that you want to share, many times people go out there and read, you know, some of the highlights from the show or and some mm-hmm. of the things that the people share. But one of the things that was just dropped in my spirit was, how can my father who is great make anything that's unworthy? How can mm-hmm. he make anything that's worthless? He can't.
That's
it
right.
can't be. Because he said we were made in his image. So how can he make
mm-hmm.
anything that's worthless and unworthy? He can't.
Yeah.
So it's a lie from the pit of hell, and we denounce all of that.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. So like you said, we need to go back and remind ourselves of who he says we are, not what
mm-hmm.
the world has told us or not what life has told us, but who does
yeah.
God say that I am? You know, he says
yeah.
that I am. You know, because he is, therefore I am, and I got to understand
mm-hmm.
who I am and remind myself of that. You know, like you said, we don't give the enemy anything because, honey, he deserves
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Nothing.
He deserves nothing. I tell you, well, we have two tickets that we're giving away tonight. So if you're listening by internet, because I know a lot of people are listening by internet, so if you want to win these tickets, you got to dial in and win the tickets. But, two tickets to the Lee and Lee Fashion Show and Tea tonight are going to be available to the next two callers that press 1 at 929-477-2178. If you're in the Atlanta area or driving distance in the Atlanta area, we have two free tickets that Lee and Lee Productions are giving out. And that's, the show starts at 3 p.m. And I tell you, I'm one of the MCs at this show. I'm excited about it because when I tell you, Yama, that girl can sew some stuff. And God gave her this gift. When I tell you God gave her this gift, it was
no one
ever taught her. She came to this country. She didn't know what a pattern was. She still doesn't know what a pattern is. She sees something, she can make it immediately. And so it's like, wow, I saw her mother-in-law in a dress. But an African print or anything. And I'm like, girl, where did you get that from? I mean, you get that from Phillips, Macy's, or Nordstrom. And she was like, no, my daughter-in-law, Mariama, made this. I'm like, what?
Oh, that is awesome.
To accent whatever body shape you have, you know, she loves
mm-hmm.
it. And so we're doing two tickets tonight. So if you want to dial in and try to win these tickets, you can't do it by internet. So I need you guys to dial in. At 929-477-2178. Press 1. We're going to give you an opportunity to win those tickets. And y'all don't be shy tonight to win your tickets. Or, no, I'm not even going to say email me. You're going to have to win these this way. So, Casey, so what upcoming things you have coming up? Because you mentioned some things about the school. Tell us what's going on with your organization.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. So this is another example of God keeping me. I co-founded Hey Health and Empower Youth back in 2011, and it just started as something good to do in the community. And then I started working, and I was like, God, I don't know if this is working for other people for me, but I got to have a job because I got to have somewhere to live, and I like to eat. So, you know, until something else happens, I'm going to have to keep working. But I just did not want to. And so God kept giving me opportunity where my job would shift just slightly that would put me closer and closer to schools and to decision makers in schools. And so long story short, this past year, even starting October of last year, applied for an RFQ, and that's a request for qualifications, for the entire Atlanta Public School District. And mm-hmm. I know 12 out of those questions asked of the organization I had to check no to. And so I just mm-hmm. chalked it up to, you know what, God, this is a great experience. I need to learn how to do these things anyway so that when the next time comes, I'll be ready. But I'm just going to go through the process. Well, I went through mm-hmm. the process not expecting anything, but for them to send me a letter saying, hey, you have been accepted and approved as a signature vendor for Atlanta Public Schools, which has mm-hmm. opened the door for us to receive our first three contracts. I go and I sign another one on this Thursday. And it's now positioning me where I don't have to work for anybody else, and I can now employ some other people.
Yes.
So I give all
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes,
so if
congratulations.
You are in the Atlanta area and you
yes.
are looking for volunteer opportunities or part-time opportunities, the same way that you can find me where I'm built for this, you know, you can find me there too. Just go to Casey Venning, both Instagram or Twitter or, you know, for Facebook, and I'll get you pointed in the right direction. But on September 23rd, so it's about a month away, we have our Hey, Let's Read Book Festival for Children of Color. And it's because we know that our babies in the African-American community are behind about 500,000 words when they get to school. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're not reading to them as much. We're not putting books in their hands. And so we mm-hmm. wanted to kind of help change that. And so on the 23rd, it's a free event. It's family-friendly. Come out, shop for books, educational services, products. And there's some cool stuff for adults as well. There's some food truck vendors out there, too. And there's some room for some vendors if folks are interested in that, too. So we're just excited. We hit the schools next week, Monday. We'll mm-hmm. be there doing after-school programming and some in-school push-ins around science, mm-hmm. math, technology, engineering, computers mm-hmm. and bicycles and go-karts and the whole nine. And I'm just so uber excited about it. And then again, mark your calendars for September 23rd for the book festival that is going to take place in Atlanta. And I'll have those flyers posted all over the place as well, so you can't miss it.
What's the address for the book festival?
It is going to be at the Hands on Atlanta building, if anybody's familiar with that, but it's 600 Means Street, and that is M like Mary, E-A-N like Nancy, S like Sam Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30318. But again, it is 600 Means Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30318. And it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
All right, that was my next question. All right. 2 p.m. Okay, and I'm posting it now in the event. And what you can do when you get an opportunity is just go in there under the comment and go ahead and post that flyer for that event.
Absolutely.
We definitely want to help market it. Because like you said, you know, our children are, and I didn't realize it was that number. How many did you say?
Mm-hmm.
How many were behind?
500,000 behind.
500,000. So, oh, my goodness. So it's time for us to, you know, get them caught up and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Get them reading and encourage that reading, because many times they mm-hmm. tell you that the child needs to come home and read additionally 10 minutes per grade
yeah.
that they're in. And so mm-hmm. many parents don't enforce that. They get home, they make sure they've done their homework, or the kids have done their homework in after school care, and mom and dad
exactly.
is, you know, going home, make sure they eat, get a bath, and get ready for the next day. We're doing an
yeah.
injustice to our children if we're doing
mm-hmm.
that. But we need to be
yeah.
making sure that our children are reading, you know, that half an hour if they're at least third grade. And, you know, even in some
mm-hmm.
after-school cares, you know, I really petition them to make sure that the children are reading and you're not just babysitting, because
yeah.
we're doing a complete injustice to them if they're
well,
not.
Yeah. And
yes.
it's things simple as, you know, for folks who watch TV, sometimes
mm-hmm.
have your child go to the info section and read
mm-hmm.
what the synopsis is. You know,
mm-hmm.
while we definitely want to put books in their hand. Reading is necessary for everything that we do. You know, if you're making a new recipe, let them read the recipe out loud to you. If you're driving in the car, tell them to read the street signs until you get to the street that you need to make the left or the right on. You know, I think we condition ourselves thinking that it has to be a book. That is the best and most effective way. But make sure that they understand that reading is a part of their life. And if they realize that, then they'll be more apt to pick up a book on their own.
Definitely. I tell you, you know, I love it. I love it. Anything dealing with kids, you know, because like I said, you know, as a motivator, as an inspirational person, a person that walks in that gift of exhortation, I constantly am pouring and speaking life into people, children. One of the things I call myself a purpose midwife. I said I don't birth babies, I birth purpose, but I also educate the children and inspire them as well as the adult. And so, you know, I'm definitely going to put this on my calendar. And if I don't have any conflicts on there, I definitely want to come out and support this initiative because this is something that's near and dear to my heart, especially as an educator and author myself. So love it. Absolutely love it.
Yes,
ma'am. So we're going to give them another chance. If you guys want to try to win these two tickets to, you know, you want to win these two tickets to Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea. The tickets are for this coming Saturday at 3 p.m. You're going to have a fashion show. You're going to have motivational moments and dessert, teas. I'm telling you, it's going to have a great, great time. And this is an opportunity to win two tickets. And if you are interested, press 1 now. If you're dialed in at 929-477-322178. Now, if you are in the Atlanta area or nearby area, again, that's 929-477-2178. If you are on the internet, you cannot participate unless you dial that number. Again, that number is 929-477-2178, because I know many people are listening that way. You got to dial in to win. So, but Casey, I'm so excited for you guys. Congratulations
Thank
in advance.
You.
One of the things that my pastor said recently, Apostle Zoe said, she said, you got to change your thinking. Your thinking needs to be, your thinking needs to be intentional. So you got to see it the way you want to see it before you actually see it manifest. And
Absolutely.
So your thoughts, governing your thoughts and shifting them to line up with the way you want to see them. And that's the thing that, you know, many people, they're speaking death to themselves, but expect life.
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Expect life, speak life, and then you'll see life manifest. So
do you agree with that statement? Absolutely. Years ago, at a church I belonged to, I remember them saying to us that you have to say what you see until you see what you said, and that regardless of whatever it is that you think is too impossible, too big for God, that if he has given it to you in a vision in your quiet time when he speaks to your spirit in a still small voice, that you close your eyes and you can see the awesomeness of what God wants to take you to and what he wants you to be fully engulfed in, that you have to keep speaking that same just as you see it until you have seen what it is that you have said. And I've held on to that because there's so many things that people have thought I was just crazy to do and to step out and trust God for, but I saw it and I didn't see it simply because I just wanted it, but because I knew that God had given it to me, and I just kept speaking it until it began to manifest. So you got to say what you see until you see what you said.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So guys, if you are in the Atlanta area on September the 23rd, mark your calendar now for the book festival and come out and support Casey's initiative, because the book festival is going to be an awesome event. It's free.
Yes.
It's from 10 to 2 at the Hands On Atlanta building. Now, that fits everybody's budget, y'all. It's free. So,
yeah,
10
right.
to 2 at the Hands On Atlanta building at 600 Main Street in Atlanta, 30318. Again, that's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on September the 23rd. The book festival at the Hands On Atlanta building, 600 Main Street. So come on out, place that on your calendar so you can go and support. go out to kaceyvenning.com, and that's kaceyvenning.com, and support this young lady and follow her, because I'm telling you, she's doing some big things. And last but not least, what would you like to leave with the audience tonight?
What I'd like to leave with you is that in all that you've experienced, that as much as you try your best to quiet the voices of every hater, every naysayer, every doubter, make sure that you quiet those same voices in your own head that you've spoken those things about yourself. That we tell ourselves lies, that we end up doubting the very thing that we know God wants to give to us because of fear, because we think that we're not qualified. And the reality is that you may have done everything that somebody else has said that you've done, but you're not who they say that you are. And the only thing that you can attach yourself to is what God has called you to, what he's called you to be, what he's called you to become. And so in that, if you realize that the only voice that you have to listen to and the only voice that you have to hold on to is that of the Holy Spirit, that whatever comes your way, that you are built for it, that you're able to withstand it, you're able to get through it, and you're able to use it as a catalyst that is going to fuel your forward progression and push you further into your purpose. Because the life that we live here on earth has to be well lived so that God gets the most awesome glory out of it. And when that time comes that we have to take our last breath, that we die empty. That's the only time that I want to be to be void of anything, is to know that I left it all out here because that was my way of giving God glory. And so whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you think that is going to take you out, that is going to, you know, bend you to the point that you are broken, know that you can handle it. Because the good thing about strength is this, that the only things that snap easily are things that are weak. If you think about a limb or a pencil, anything, you know, the level of stress that's put on it or something that has not had its roots dug deep enough, you know, for it to become strong, things that are weak snap easily. So if you find yourself bending a whole lot, you have to just tap into the strength that's already inside of you. That you have to remind yourself that if I'm bending like this, then there's some greatness in me. There's some strength that I'm not, you know, being aware of, or I'm not recognizing, or I'm not identifying. Mm-hmm. And that it's okay that even in that, that you can allow yourself to be weak, because in it is when his strength is made perfect. And so every challenge that comes your way, look at it. Have your moment. I tell people all the time, have your moment. Cry if you need to, kick, scream, holler, but let it be a moment. And then when your moment is over, look adversity in the face and say, I'm built for this. I got this. This is not going to be the thing that takes me out. And so whatever it is that you think is going to conquer you, you go out and you conquer it.
Man, I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, I thank you so very much for dialing in tonight.
Thank you.
And sharing with us, because we truly, truly appreciate you. And you know what? Y'all are not going to win these tickets by dialing my personal number. You're not. You had to dial
it.
my phone is going out left to right. You had to dial in on the show. I'm telling you. So, can you believe that, Casey?
They said they're going to try one way or the other.
Yes, they're going to try to win them, but they're dialing the wrong number. But I tell you, I thank you again, you know, congratulations
you.
On everything. If you're trying to win those tickets, you got to dial 929-477-2178 and press 1. You have 2 tickets to Lee and Lee Fashion Show and Tea for 3 o'clock this coming Saturday. But please don't dial my cell number. My phone has rang 3 times. Casey, I love it. I love it. Got to love it. But thank you again. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. The recording will be available shortly, guys. So if you miss any of this interview, I tell you, you definitely want to dial in and listen to the recording or share it with your family and friends, because I'm telling you, you were built for this. And there's someone that needs to hear that message. There's someone that needs to hear that Casey got transparent and was able to say, hey, I'm helping you through my transparency. I'm helping you through what God brought me through, because it wasn't for me, it was for you, and to let you know that you were able to get through it. So I tell you, you definitely want to take a listen to that and share it with someone. On Fire to Inspire is available on ebook. The book itself is available on ebook, paperback, as well as audio CD. If you want to be a sponsor and sponsor the show, you have access to an entire month of information shared online, as well as to our listeners each and every week. For only $25, you email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. That's also our PayPal name, but email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. Let us know what business you have, what you'd like to share. And, of course, it has to line up with our platform, because we are giving God glory through your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and your services. So, again, On Fire to Inspire, we're here each and every week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a book, Prayers, Affirmations, and Declarations. They're available on ebook. All of the books have been written by myself. And then the final book is a children's book, Teaching Foundational English and Spanish. And the title is A Learning Book Just For Me with the character. So it is time for you to teach your children. It's time to get these kids reading, because we got to get our kids caught up. There is no reason that they should be behind, because they have greatness on the inside of them, just like you as a parent, aunt, uncle, whatever. You have greatness on the inside of you. It's time to stop existing and start living the life that God has created for you to live. I am Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a blessed week.